Good morning. The first lesson today is from Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 4, and you will find that on page 687. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. The psalm today is number 27, and you will find that on page 550. That's page 550, Psalm 27. We will read this one responsively. It starts with verse 1 and then jumps to verse 4, and it will be 4 through 9. So I'll read the first one, then we'll jump to 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. The third lesson today is from Paul. It's in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 18. That's found in your Bible on page 1142. And this deals with a matter of a church divided over leaders. And Paul is addressing the issue. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This ends the readings.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived at Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a little kid, which was a long time ago, and no comments. My kids think I was back in the days when you wrote on stone tablets and people wrote dinosaurs, but it wasn't quite that long ago. But anyway, one of the games that we used to play was Follow the Leader. Anybody ever, who's played Follow the Leader? Okay. Now, for those of you who have never played, or for those of you who do not remember how to play, I'm going to give you a crash course in Follow the Leader. You choose one individual to be at the head of the line, and that person is the leader. And everybody else lines up behind the leader. And whatever the leader does, everybody behind him or her has to do. Now, if you do not do it, then you're out of the line. And the last person standing, besides the leader, now becomes the new leader in the line. Okay? So that's how you play. Now, just kind of hang on to that because we'll come back to it in just a minute. Now, the lesson that we have before us today, the gospel lesson, this little story about Jesus calling the disciples is kind of, it's kind of cramped or just kind of stuck in between some other things that are much more exciting than that story is. For example, chapter 3 begins with the introduction of John the Baptist. Now, John is one of the most eccentric people in the Bible. He lives out in the desert. He eats locust and wild honey. He dresses in camel hair clothes, which, you know, the more I think about that, I just kind of get itchy. I don't know if any of you do, but I do. And he is out there and he just takes on anybody. He takes on the scribes. He takes on the Pharisees. He takes on the Sadducees. He is a feisty guy. And then, in the middle of all this, Jesus shows up on the scene. And he's baptized. And when he comes up out of the water, the heavens are torn open. And I love that word. Not just the clouds parted. The heavens are torn open. And he gets a glimpse into heaven. And a dove lights on him. And he hears a voice. And the voice says, "You are my son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And then he's driven. He doesn't just walk. He's driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He spends 40 days and 40 nights fasting, praying. It's like without food for 40 days and 40 nights. Yeah. Beats Jenny Craig. Well, you could lose weight fast, couldn't you? Anyway, 40 days and 40 nights. And he's out there and he's trying to figure out how he's going to do this thing that God calls him to do. And then, chapter 5, we have one of the most amazing passages of Scripture that's there. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' State of the Kingdom address. It's where Jesus lays out his vision for a new life, a different life, a better life, the God life, a life that he and the gospel writers call the Kingdom of God. And then sandwiched in between the Sermon on the Mount and this temptation story, we've got this little bit that we read this morning. Jesus comes into Galilee preaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he walks up to Peter and Andrew. Two guys, just figure this. They're at their boat, cleaning their nets. And he says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And immediately they leave everything and they follow. And then he goes and he finds two other guys, James and John. Tells them the same thing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they drop everything and they follow him. Now, I've heard those stories, you know, the repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, but especially the one about going up to Peter and James and John and Andrew and saying, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I've heard that a lot since I was a little kid. How many of you have heard those stories a number of times? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, I think the problem with those stories is they're kind of like safety announcements on an airplane. How many of you have been on a plane lately? You ready? Okay. And you know, you're sitting there and you're all cramped up in this plane to begin with, unless you're lucky enough to be flying first class. I'm always cramped up. Anyway, so I'm cramped up in the plane, you're cramped up in the plane, and all of a sudden they come on and they say, would you please give your attention? And those are automatically the words to do what? Anything but pay attention. How many of you actually pay attention to the safety instructions that they give you? Oh, come on. Really? Man, that's like, turn on the Kindle, pull out my book, put in the earplugs, anything but listen to that same stuff over and over again. And what I'm really trying to figure out is when I'm flying from Seattle to someplace like Las Vegas or Reno or whatever, and I'm flying over the desert, they inform me that there's a seat cushion, a flotation device under my seat. I'm going to drown in the desert. Haven't figured that one out yet, but they do it. Why? Because they give the same speech every time. And it just kind of rolls off your ears like water off a duck's back. But if you were going to go skydiving, anybody ever been skydiving? Okay, I got one. Okay. If you were going to go skydiving, would you pay attention to the directions? Would you read your book, pick up your Kindle, put in the earplugs? I doubt it. Why? Because if you don't listen, what happens? You might die. It's real simple. So you pay attention. Well, these words of Jesus are not airplane instructions. They're not airplane safety instructions. These are skydiving instructions. These are exciting things. This is just a wonderful experience, an opportunity. It's a life-changing experience that you and I are called to be about. And often we just go, okay, let's see. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, let's get on to the next verse. Right? Oh, this is great stuff. Think about this. Think about this. This is an invitation to an adventure, to something exciting and wonderful, something you've never done before. Or maybe you have. But you can do it again. Do you only ride your horse once? I know better than that. Do you only go snow machining once? Do you buy the machine and then only go once? Sometimes, but not often. You know, you do this stuff over and over. Why? Because it's exciting. Gospel life is exciting. Kingdom life is exciting. Here's the problem. We've taken these words of Jesus, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men, and a lot of other stuff that he said, and we've taken Jesus and we have made him vanilla, boring, bland. If you like vanilla, I'm sorry. I'm a chocolate guy. But it's kind of bland. We've taken it. We've domesticated Jesus. We have Jesus what? He's nice. He's gentle. He's meek. He's loving. He's forgiving. Whew. Isn't it a wonder that Christianity excites so many people? Come on, we'll invite you to our vanilla religion. Think about this. If Jesus had only preached love and forgiveness and been meek and mild, why would they have nailed him to a cross? They nailed him to a cross because he's a radical. He called for a different way of living, a change of life, a new way of life. He upset the apple cart. And he calls us to do the same thing. Now, what I want you to imagine is this. I want you to imagine that you are at work, at school, at the library. Fred Meyer, Safeway, whatever place you happen to be. And Jesus walks up to you and he says this. Follow me. I want to make a new kind of fisherman, a new kind of accountant, a new kind of oil worker, a new kind of husband, a new kind of wife, a new kind of son, a new kind of daughter, a new kind of retiree. You kind of get the point here. A new kind of something. Follow me. Would you drop everything and follow? Are you ready? I don't know. What do you want me to do? Might be something weird. I'm not too sure, Jesus. But these guys did what? They dropped it and followed. Do you think they had a clue what they were getting into? No, but they were just excited. What? They were excited they were chosen. It's kind of like, remember when you were kids and you used to play pickup baseball? How many of you guys used to play pickup baseball, football? Okay. Remember when they had the two teams? And if you weren't the one doing the picking, what did you want more than anything else in the world? Choose me! Choose me! Please don't let me be the last one. I don't want to play right field. I don't want to be all-day hiker. You want to play. These guys were just excited that somebody had chosen them. They're ready. Let's go. What are we going to do, Jesus? Follow me and watch. Okay, I can do that. And then he goes and he does what? He delivers the Sermon on the Mount. Greatest piece of teaching that Jesus did. Now, when he was done, did he say, come on, guys, let's get together. I want your opinion on this. You think we ought to change anything? Was I a little too harsh? I don't know. What about that meek thing? You think we ought to... No! He did what? This is the way that it is. And what did they do? They learned. How did they learn? By watching and listening and following. Which is what we're called to do, isn't it? To follow, to watch, to learn, to listen. This is why it's so important for us to read, to worship, to get close to God. Because if you don't, how do you know what it is he wants you to be about? So they gathered around. They followed him for a little while. And then, what did he do? Okay, guys, it's your turn. You've watched a while. You followed, you've listened. Now, go. What are we supposed to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Go. Now, do you think they got it right the first time? Probably not. So they came back, and what did they get? Further instruction. But what did he do when he was done with that? Go, guys. Do it again. And the more they did it, what happens? The easier it becomes. Until finally, Jesus doesn't have to say, go, guys. They're doing what? They're just going. Because why? This is exciting stuff. They're changing not only their own lives, they're changing other people's lives. And that's what you and I are called to be about. Jesus is inviting us not to sit on the plane. He's inviting us to jump out. Not just change ourselves, which is what we often consider everything to be about. Change the world in which we live. So, here's your question. Don't use the word if Jesus walks up to you. Jesus has walked up to you. Okay? I'll tell you how you know that. It's right there. Jesus walked up to you. Follow me. Follow me. Will you drop everything and do it? Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.